Blog Talk Radio.
This is Forbes Myers, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
This is Brandon Buddy on Stardish Radio. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody. This is Kristen Alderson, and I am on Stardish Radio, the coolest radio station ever.
Hi, this is David Fumero, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Melissa Fumero on Stardish Radio.
Hey everyone, thanks for coming back to Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is still October 21st, 2008. I'm your host Joanne, back for round two. Just finished up a fantastic hour with Jean Leclerc, formerly of All My Children, Jeremy Hunter, and it was such a fabulous interview. I cannot not wait for this man to come back because there's just so much more to go over. So we're heading into hour two. Tony, welcome back.
Hey, Joanne, welcome back. And I am very happy to report that Susan Lindsay has made it to week six of Dancing with the Stars, even though she was in the bottom two tonight.
Wow, okay.
She survived. Tony Braxton and her partner were sent home.
Really?
Yep.
Well, congratulations to Susan.
On to the next round. That's all I got to say on that.
Uh-huh.
Now, let's get on to our next guest. Now, let's get on to our second guest of the night.
Yes, we're waiting for him to call in. Our next guest for the night is Gregory J. Martin, director, actor, filmmaker extraordinaire, famous for his work on Manhattanites, Jack Rio. He did three feature films, Mary, a horror-based film regarding the urban legend of Bloody Mary, Taken for Granted, another horror film shot on location in Connecticut, and he also had a little guest part on GH as a cop a while back. So, yeah, we're just waiting for him to call in. And there has been some pretty, it's been a stellar cast in his movies. You know, he follows like a nice pattern. He casts within the soaps, which I love. I mean, not everybody, but, you know, I think it's nice to see our favorites in another form of entertainment besides soaps.
So right on that. Yeah, so right on that. And, especially in the two movies you just mentioned. There's two movies you just mentioned, yeah. According to Matt Knight, no one in the Manhattanites, you know, he he cussed Eileen, Kristen, and Forrest March, and Ian Turner, and Joe Arson, among others. And he also did a film, what is the other one? Skeleton in the Desert, that had, Jack Rio, excuse me, with Matt Borenge and Sean King. And also Nadia Bjorn, who plays Chloe on Days of Our Lives, was also
right, right. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think that I can't wait for these movies to actually, you know, pop out and get to a place where we could see them. I mean, I know Manhattanites was had a limited release,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Jack Rio, Matt Borlenghi said that it's pretty much still up in the air and not really sure what's going on with that, and it really looks like an interesting movie. You know, I mean, if you watch the trailer, you can go to Gregory's MySpace page, Gregory J. Martin's Films on MySpace, and all the trailers are up. So they're very interesting, and I think they're just shopping around for some distributors.
Yeah, well, a movie like that is like, it should be mainstream because people would love to see, you know, some of their favorite soap stars outside of their comfort zone doing something they haven't done, and it would love to see people would love to see movies like that in theater.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
in the regular
absolutely.
Theater.
Well, look at David Fumero's film. Greetings from the Shore has done so phenomenally well. that they kept asking them back to the theater. They were only supposed to have a 1 week release, a 1 weekend, and they kept asking them to come back. And I think they ultimately ended up doing maybe 5 or 6 weeks in the theaters. And, you know, Greg Cherchak, the gentleman who directed that movie, said it was just amazing. I mean, I'll have to be honest and say that I actually bought a ticket online just to buy a ticket because, you know, I support my friend David in anything that he does. And I think with all the soap fans out there, they would definitely clamor at the idea of going to see their favorites on the big screen.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I definitely agree with it. And a lot of people would love to see it. I'd say a lot of people would love to see that film. And not just the sub fans, but also, you know, movie fans in general who like me, who are curious to see films like this, you know, and and Jack Reel.
Right, right. Yeah. So, you know, and Matt Borlenghi, he's such an accomplished soap actor. You know, I think he deserves a shot with the Jack Reel film. And, you know, Gregory J. Martin is actually from Yonkers, New York, which is where I'm from.
Really?
And, I was shocked to see that. I mean, a lot of people end up coming out of Yonkers one way or another in the entertainment business, whether it be music or acting. Susan Lucci is from Yonkers, Scarsdale area. So, he's much younger than I am, but we actually went to rival high schools, so it's pretty funny.
That's cool.
Small world.
Yeah, very. It's a small world indeed.
It certainly is. he asked me to email him and remind him of this interview, which I did. So hopefully he'll be calling in soon. One Life to Live today, I did watch, and I'm really feeling bad for Gigi, really, really feeling bad for her. Adriana is true to form a Kramer woman. She is her mother reincarnated.
Oh, yeah. Well, question. And she's got Rex held up in La Belay because he thinks she wanted to keep him, you know, protect him. She's protecting him. But she's actually keeping him away from Gigi, trying to keep him away from anybody. So he doesn't want to know anybody there. But she was discovered today a little bit because Star and Cole accidentally walked in on where Adriana had Rex at in the living room, which was made up in a small hospital.
Right.
And he walked in there, and he saw Adriana, and I said, what is Rex doing here? And he said, I just wanted to build him house. He said, make him a couple. Yeah, Adriana obviously lied, you know. Obviously, he said, I'd make him a comfortable and everything because the hospital was not doing anything for him. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, like, whatever. Yeah, lying little bitch.
Right? She loved Melissa, boy. Melissa can certainly play a bitch.
When she wants to.
Good as anyone. Love it, love it, love it. She's definitely doing a great job. I really hate the fact that she's not on the show anymore because I think it would just keep things, you know, going and stirred up.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, it definitely would. I'm upset over that. But,
well, start making this line busy. Well, meanwhile, as they're getting ready to do this, she tells Sean and all the people around her, do not let anyone in here. No, not let anyone. Well, except for family and medical people. And if you let a brunette girl pass you, you're toast. And I'm like, she's definitely Dorian's child. That's Dorian for sure. Definitely Dorian's daughter for sure. Yeah, line and hoodie. But meanwhile, Marcy and Roxy were, trying to find a way to sneak her in to see Rex. Of course, because she couldn't go in looking like herself. So they gave her, Gigi, this little Foxy Roxy touch, as they say, a little fake blonde wig and glasses, and she's, dialed up looking like a true nurse so they can get her in. So they find a way. They say, you go find it, boy. You go in there, and you go get Rexy. You get him to wake up, and he'll wake up and see you, and then there will be a lot of fireworks going on.
And of course, Edie kept rubbing her hands and said, oh, I'm not going to get in the house. I'll come. There's no way she's going to let me out. Oh, it's going to work. And Mark said, it's going to work. Trust me. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to run interference for you and make sure you get in. So that's what she showed up at the door today, right towards the end of the episode when she talked with the door and trying to distract Adriana so Gigi could sneak in wherever she is or stay in the bushes and wait till she leaves until someone comes, like a medical person, and pretend she's a nurse. And they'll try to get into the place, so get into the place and get in that room where Rex is at and get him to wake up. That'll be the coolest thing that happens.
It certainly would be. It certainly would be, which I'm sure it'll happen over the next couple of days. They've been doing pretty good with not dragging storylines out as bad as they used to, you know?
No doubt.
So I think that should probably within the next week or so, and I'm really waiting for this whole Todd and Marty thing to really hit the fan. Brandon, did you get to see One Life to Live?
I saw most of it. I tuned in around 1:15 or so, so I saw most of it.
Okay. Right. So, I mean, I'm really, really definitely looking forward to the whole Todd and Marty thing blowing up.
Oh, it's going to be so good when it all hits the fan. It's going to be so good.
I was all excited thinking that, you know, that the nurse, you know, now that John had kind of blew him out of the water, so to speak, that he was going to come back she was just going to come back and blow it all up. But, nope, it's all about money, and she took that money.
What new? What new? Yeah, when it comes to telling loyalty, that's loyalty. You know what I mean? You know, the old loyalty thing. You just want to choose money or you want to choose, you know, your freedom. And 9 times out of 10, most people are going to choose the money over their freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm waiting on that to pop out. General Hospital has been really a bore for me. I don't know about anybody else, but, you know, last week, I didn't watch the soaps at all. I TiVo'd everything all week. And, again, I, of course, let the machine overload to the point where it just stopped recording. So it stopped recording, I think, on Tuesday or Wednesday, and I had to actually go into SoapNet to record the rest of the episodes. And there was, to me, honestly, I fast-forwarded through 90% of them. It wasn't even necessary. It's just boring to me. You know, I'm over the whole thing. I wish they would push forward with the Lisa Lo Cicero's character.
Olivia.
I really like her. I love her going up against Claudia. Her and Claudia going at each other and Jake's. I loved it.
Me too.
And
I love the fact that she and Laura Wright are friends. I think that's fantastic.
Isn't it? Yeah, I really like that too. Yeah, I like that one, too. I love how Laura Wright, kind of like threw herself in the middle of Nadine and Nicholas just to piss off Jax.
What new?
That was good. You know, poor Nadine, this little mousy nurse who's got self-esteem like, you know, a pen does, and, you know, she's so threatened by someone like Carly, and even though obviously there's nothing going on between the two of them, Carly can just walk in a room, and it just sets her off. It's like, wow. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know how anybody can compare her to Emily.
Jelly sea streak. Oh, man.
Yeah, but, you know, they were saying, a lot of people were saying, comparing her to Emily, and I don't see that at all. Emily certainly would not have stood for something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Emily may have been, you know, a sweet, nice girl, but when it came down to brass knuckles and it was her man, oh, no, she didn't put up with that bullshit. You know, she went and did what she had to do.
Go, throw him down. Yep. See, like, set him up, knock him down.
That's it. Yeah, so, but other than that, this whole Jerry and Alexis thing really does not have my interest. And
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I heard that Sebastian Roche did not sign a new contract, and that he's very unhappy with his role at General Hospital and his storyline, and that he won't be coming back.
Yeah, there were reports from Soap Opera Weekly. They purported that he's out. He's out. And matter of fact, I got to Soap Opera Digest, the latest edition, is reporting that he has officially been out. He's officially out of General Hospital.
Oh, okay. You see, Carolyn Hennessy was on in the Zone last week, and I caught the tail end of that. And she mentions on their show that Sebastian was no longer on the show. And I did make a call to his publicist and his manager, but they wouldn't comment on it. So, you know, that's sad. That's sad. Because I like Sebastian as an actor, but I was just a little over the whole Sam and Alexis thing.
Yeah.
It's just a repeat of Rick.
What new? Like I said, what new? It's rehashing the same old junk. It's
mm-hmm.
What new?
Well, and the whole
yeah.
Alexis Jerry thing has been treated as a plot afterthought for some time now. So, I mean, you can tell the show really wasn't invested in it, and it's a shame because they're both terrific actors. I mean, you could build the whole show around them if you wanted to.
Absolutely, you could. I mean, Jerry has some great qualities, the character. You know, it's really nice that you can watch him be, you know, such a murderous psychopath that holds a whole hotel hostage. And, okay. You know, in the same breath, he can go charm the pants off of a woman. You know, it's just really a nice mixture, but it just wasn't used properly. You know, he's so caring and loving when it comes to Jax and protective of Carly and the children. And then, you know, he turns around and he can be snapping somebody's neck like it's nobody's business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, another rumor I want to squash, I did last night, but I'm going to do it again on the air. There was a post made in the Susan Lucci chat club that Brian Franz wants Michael Knight out of All My Children and that he was actually going to be fired, and that's why he wasn't invited to Super Soap Weekend. And it is completely untrue. I can't reveal the source, but it's completely untrue. When I saw that, I made some calls. And bottom line is, Mike, it's been 5 years since Michael signed a contract. He's in the middle of contract negotiations since the end of the summer, beginning of fall, and an agreement has not been met yet. And because of that, is why he didn't get invited to Super Soap Weekend.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with him being fired or Brian Franz wanting him out. Yes. Michael Knight and Susan Lucci bring in the most fan mail at All My Children. It's just a matter of them hammering out a deal. And but needless to say, fan mail can always and only help Michael. You know, so if there's people out there that do want to write, because Super Poster had posted the rumor and did call it a rumor, and, you know, I had mm-hmm. clarified it with them also, letting them know what I found out. But, hey, send in the letters anyway, and it ain't going to hurt them.
Nope, definitely not. You just want, if you love Michael, if you like Michael playing Tad every day, yep, if you're a huge fan and a true fan, well, this guy, write your tails off. Keep.
I mean,
there.
Give the guy a storyline for crying out loud. You know, I mean, if that rumor was actually true, and they decided to fire Michael for whatever the reason is, they may as well fire Susan also. You know, because they just had killed off everybody on that show, even worth watching.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Yeah, definitely. Because they're the two most, like I said, you mentioned, John, they're the two most people who get the most mail, two of the most popular people on the show. Come on. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that he's important to the show.
Mm-hmm. What, Brandon, what do you think of the whole tornado thing? As of now.
I think that the effects are really cool, but I was watching, I can't remember if it was Thursday or Friday, but some of the acting over there is really atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
And the writing itself hasn't been too terribly great either. Did y'all see the scene, I guess, right before the first tornado struck between Ryan and Greenlee where Ryan was talking about the heavens rejoicing, and it was just really cheesy, and it was...
That was really stupid.
It was impossible to act, and I mean, Cameron and Rebecca are really good actors, but they looked ridiculous saying these ludicrous lines. I mean, it was... the show did them no favors, throwing them these hammy scenes, and that was kind of happening all over the place on that same episode. I mean, all the acting was, I don't know, it was all about the effects. It wasn't about the acting.
Right, that's what I hear from everybody. It's kind of hard to make somebody and think reality that they're having reuniting sex in the middle of a tornado in a shed somewhere. with these ridiculous lines and you know, Pine Valley has been through tornadoes before, and
to
everybody, but you know, I mean, I watched clips of the old the first tornado, and wow, that's all I could say about that is just wow, and for them to try and reenact this one with, I mean, not even a mention of the first one. You know, like, oh wow, we haven't had one of these in 10 years or whatever it may be, and it's like, oh wow, let's all go outside because the wind stopped. It got so quiet all of a sudden. I
and
wonder
next,
why.
And then the next thing you know, you saw a big ass oil cord. It's
like, holy cow! It's called the calm before the storm. You people been through it before? Are you kidding me? I thought that was
considering that Thad was almost killed during the first one. I mean, you would think if anybody would know.
Yeah, that's right.
And they had him locked up in the hospital while all this is going on, you know. He got to make it up to the comeback after it was completely destroyed, but I don't think they did it any justice by not mentioning the first one, you know, even suggesting, you know, like, oh, wow, it has been so long since we had these. I mean, you know, when you live in a place, I mean, realistically, I understand it's a soap, but realistically, when you live in a place like that where you're susceptible to tornadoes and severe weather, they obviously had the sirens going. So obviously they knew tornadoes were coming. It was all over the news, and the news reporters didn't even mention the fact that it happened before and it hadn't happened in so many years or anything like that. You know, and poor Opal, man, they got her running around like a chicken with no friggin' head. She's just like this crazy old batty lady, you know, wondering who's ringing her doorbell, and it was just ridiculous. Oh, my God, there's the bell again. There is the bell again. It's like, wow.
It was a damn sign. It was a sign, you know. That's what the guy. Now, what's happening, God saying, oh, the terrible thing is coming. Oh, it's the darkest thing that's coming, and it's coming. That's why. And she was right. And she was right.
She was right. But you know what? Everybody's friggin' doorbell in Pine Valley was ringing. It wasn't. Like it was just her. It was everybody's bell. Everybody had an issue with the doorbell.
Yeah, Kendall. Yeah, Kendall and Zach had it on the beach house. The Kendall's had issues. You know, Kendall's had issues. Kendall's mentioned.
And the next thing is, tell me, where is there a beach house in Pine Valley? Where is there a beach in Pennsylvania?
I don't know.
Okay. I mean, did they drive up and go to Atlantic City or something? I don't know. But they were in Pine Valley. There ain't no beaches in Pennsylvania as far as I know.
Not in the middle of Pennsylvania. Where the heck is this town?
I mean, I know it's not a real town, but, you know,
come on.
They make up a different state because they ain't got no beaches in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and what about arenas? Hello?
Does Pennsylvania not border one of the Great Lakes? I'm not sure where exactly in Pennsylvania we're located, but...
You know what? I know it's not far from where I am, so maybe it is, you know, off of the lake, but I don't know now that I think about it, but from what they've shown, you know, I mean, it would have to be on something, because they do many scenes down at that beach.
Seemed like it.
I just wish the acting was better. I mean, this is a show that's kind of known for its super intense performances, and we're just not seeing that these days over there, and It's a shame because they've still got some of the best actors in the business, and it's just it's a shame that the acting isn't better.
Well,
and they're being wasted.
Yeah, but it might pick up this week, you know. It might pick up, might be better in the next couple of weeks, but especially with Odessa Azari coming in this week and Emma Bryan coming in next week. So it might pick up a little bit.
Right. Well, we'll see. I mean, I really think that the ideas that Jean Leclerc put out there are some really good ones. And I really think that, you know, this episode that we just had of Blog Talk Radio should get burnt on a CD and mailed to the powers that be.
Yeah, the question is, will they listen? That's the question.
No, you know what? Embed it in an email. It'll start playing the minute that they open up that email.
Yeah, I can see their faces.
You know, it'll just start playing. But I think it should be done. I think, you know, I think it would be plausible to have Jeremy or Gilbert come back.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
especially
but...
with the 10,000th episode coming up, I mean, they should be bringing back all the greats from the past. Kate Collins and Jean Leclerc and, you know, Kelly Ripa and all Julia Barr, all the great people from the past ought to be coming back for this.
That's
I mean,
right.
It's a great
and you know
milestone.
What?
It's a great milestone.
It is. Matt Borlenghi said on the show last week that he was a little ticked off a bit. You know, he wishes that they would have told him or included him in that 10,000th episode because he felt that, you know, he put some time and effort into, you know, those episodes and helped get it to where it is, which I believe, you know. I mean, him and Kelly Ripa were the first teen super couple, you know, in the early 90s, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what kind of brought the teen scene back, you know, since Tad, Jesse, Angie, Liza, you know, with Kelly and with Haley and Brian and what was Lindsay Price's name?
Ali. Ali.
And Terrence.
Yep. And it was way back there, and it was like, I think I'm trying to think who was the actor who played back then. I can't remember his name, but it was before Dondre T. Whitfield came. It was somebody before that. I forgot his name. But yeah, he was in there. But he was a part of that group. Yeah, and that was a part of that teen group. And it was a part of that
right.
Teen group.
Right, and you know what? It was very successful, that teen group. Not like the one that we got now.
No, definitely not the one we got now. It's a little bit boring.
Can I tell you, though, who I do enjoy watching? I like watching Daniel Kennedy. I like Petey Cortland.
Petey Cortland. Oh, man, he is such a scream. I know the ladies love him. Ladies are like, oh, Jack Bailey, oh, God, that Petey Cortland is a scream.
I think he's very funny and comical, and I really like that about him and about the way they have his character. And I don't think that they should have him be, I like the pairing between him and Adam. I like the fact that he could be a little evil, so to speak, and, you know, a little villainous, you know, without being such a badass, you know, and I think he would be a good pairing with David Hayward.
Yeah, like we get to see him do Wile E. Coyote, super genius.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Because David Hayward's coming back with a vengeance, you know. I mean, his daughter is dead. And, I mean, she didn't die yet, but she'll be dead. And he's coming back after them Chandlers like it's nobody's business. And this would be the perfect time to grab Petey on board because Adam is threatening, you know, to take him to the cops and do this, that, and the other thing. I think it would be a good pairing to have him work with David Hayward.
Oh, yeah. But what a combo. They want to be people geniuses. Evil genius and his apprentice.
Right. It's true. Brandon, what do you think about Adam and Erica back together?
Anytime you pair up Canary and Lucci, you're going to get fireworks. I mean, they could read the phone book together and be fascinating. So I think it's terrific.
Yes, me too.
Me too.
I agree wholeheartedly. Tony, I know you do too. I'm over the whole Jack thing.
Mm.
You know, you're beating a dead horse here. I love Walt Willie. Let him move on. You know, let him move on to someone else. I mean, Erica strings him along, and he's very wishy-washy, and he's very judgmental. He can't love the woman for who she is, where Adam can deal with it.
Well, and it's been kind of done to death besides. I mean, you know,
it has.
They put them together and ripped them apart so many times that it's not really interesting anymore.
No, not at all. Who can? And they did that ridiculous last-ditch effort of the reality show, and come on, just friggin' get over it already. Cut the horse's head off, throw it in a bed, and be done with it. It's so over.
Yeah, so last year.
You know, it's so over. I mean, people are screaming that him and Carmen don't have chemistry. And you know what? It's kind of hard to look at Jack with another woman, especially, you know, someone who was supposed to be Erica's BFF in prison or whatever. And I think they should give it a chance. I like Carmen. I think she's pretty spunky. And, you know, I like the way she interacts with Adam. And I miss the cat fight scene because, oh, that's the other thing. You know, not for nothing, but SoapNet, you know, we've griped about SoapNet before and how they're not really catering to soap fans so much anymore. They're trying to go mainstream in prime time and whatever. But the whole incident that I had this weekend with my TiVo not recording, all my children was part of that. So when I went to SoapNet to try and record the rest of the week of all my children,
mm-hmm.
well, they don't have it anymore. The only
yeah.
episode they show on SoapNet is Friday's episode.
What?
They took the marathon of all my children off the air, and they run Beverly Hills 90210 into the ground. They run the OC into the ground. They played, I swear to you, on Sunday, Mommy Dearest was on two times in a row.
Again?
Again.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
I swear to you. Yes, they did. Yes, they
what?
Did. Yes, they
it's
did.
Like, it's like being a dead horse. Come on, people. Get over it. I love the movie, but come on. One showing's enough. Two and four kind of weeks, okay, that's a little taking it too far, as far as I'm concerned.
But you know what? This is what pisses me off, is that SoapNet is an ABC affiliate, an ABC company. I'm not even really sure how it works, but I know
Disney.
Before any of it, okay, which caters to ABC. It's all under the same umbrella, right?
Yeah.
So they took off the marathon of all my children, and there's a marathon of Days of Our Lives. There's a marathon of Young and the Restless.
Why I don't understand, because Days is maybe doing a little better in the rain, and Young and the Restless I can understand. But why take off the ABC soaps and leave two soaps that's on other networks? What's up with that?
Mm-hmm. Well, because they want to broaden their audience with SoapNet, and I can understand that. Then you know what? Get rid of the 1990s crap and get Beverly Hills 90210 off the air. Why do you got to show six episodes in a day?
Why don't you just start a new network that caters to those shows?
You know, I mean, and not for nothing, there already is. What is it, the CW that plays 90210? Let them run, you know, let them buy that out or something. But, you know, in any event, it doesn't have to have six episodes of Beverly Hills 90210 on a Saturday. We don't need to see the movie of the week two times in a row, once at 1 o'clock and then again at 3:30. Who the hell needs to see that? You're taking up 4 or 5 hours of television time, you know, of soap stuff, and putting Mommy Dearest, or what was that stupid movie, the dead guy, My Boyfriend's Back, about the zombie killers and with Jack Black, and get over it already. I'm so done with SoapNet. I pay so much extra money in cable just for SoapNet, and I don't want to watch Joan Crawford. If I want to watch Joan Crawford, I'll watch her on the American Movie Classics or the Hallmark Channel or something like that. Not on SoapNet.
No.
And you'll get the real Joan Crawford. You won't get an imitation.
You know, it's like, come on, be for real. So, yes, I didn't even get to watch all the scenes from the tornado because SoapNet, who promoted this tornado till, you know, the cows were flying around, didn't even air it.
So, they didn't air most of it. They just only aired the Friday episode.
They only aired Friday. That's it. They didn't air the whole thing. They only aired Friday. And you know what? I love Night Shift, too. And I'll be honest, I only watched, like, the first three episodes, and I've recorded the rest of them because I just haven't had time to sit and watch them. They ran a marathon of Night Shift last week. They ran a marathon of Night Shift the week before. They ran a marathon of Night Shift, all the, you know, to catch up to date because of the season finale. There's no need for all that. There honestly is no need for all that, especially when they're going to put it out on DVD.
Yeah, but in that show's defense, the last few episodes have been really, really great.
Of Night Shift?
Yes.
Oh, I can't wait to watch it, but really there's just no need for them to keep repeating it every week. A day
I don't know if you caught last week's episode with Sharon Wyatt and John Reilly coming back, but man,
yeah,
it was
well
written.
Yeah, I didn't see it yet. I'm dying
well
to see that. Yeah, I didn't see it yet. But I'm going to... Either this weekend or next weekend, I have plans on just doing a GH Night Shift marathon for myself. But I was just really pissed off because I was on the edge of my seat wanting to see this tornado scenes, and they didn't even air it. They aired half of it. So, yeah, I'm mad about that.
Well, but they aired it the day they showed them at night. So, I mean, that's kind of the rationale there is, well, we already show them, you know, twice at night and once the next morning, so.
Okay, but they show General Hospital at night, too, but they still have a marathon. They show One Life to Live at night, and they still have a marathon of that. They show Young and the Restless and Days of Our Lives. Why out all my children?
Yeah, the problem is with One Life to Live and General Hospital, they put those shows late at night. Late at night, early next morning, especially on the weekends. They put it on
early
Sunday morning.
Yeah, yeah, it used to be All My Children, One Life to Live used to come on Saturday morning starting at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I mean Sunday starting at 7 o'clock. Saturday, it started with All My Children, and then it went into General Hospital. And
right.
Young and the Restless and all those other ones were the late night shows. And
right.
Now it's completely opposite.
Which is weird.
And that's just know all my children. I mean, I understand they do them at nighttime. And truthfully, I didn't even think about that because I didn't check the TiVo until the end of the week when I was ready to watch them. So I still missed it anyway, thinking, okay, well, I got SoapNet so I can just record it, you know, over, you know, the weekend shows. But. So I don't know. I just wish. I mean, I can watch Beverly Hills 90210 repeats, but I just if it came down to my soaps or Beverly Hills 90210, I would choose my soaps.
Pretty much. Hey, listen, Joanne. By the way, speaking, you just mentioned. I'm glad you mentioned GH Night Shift. There is a rumor I read in the Soap Opera Digest. I got the latest news on the late breaking news. Since Amanda Baker's not leaving her role as Babe on All My Children, there's speculation going around that she may return for season 3 of Night Shift as Jolene.
Holy shit. Really?
Yeah, they might think about bringing Jolene out of the coma next year for season 3.
Wow.
Which means she's going to cause all kinds of trouble, wreak havoc for her sister Nadine.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's speculation right now.
Yeah, well, they got time for that, but I could see that happening. I mean, she is in a coma, you know.
Yeah, we'll love to see Jolene back again, wreaking havoc in Port Charles and causing trouble for her sister. Trying to see Nadine try to fix her messes and everything. Oh man,
Well,
that'll be something to see.
Yeah, it would be, especially since they went in a completely different direction with the show this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a lot different than it was, you know, when they brought in, you know, Antonio Sabato Jr. and they brought in Tristan Rogers, you know, and then they pretending to kill, they killing Robert. I think they're taking Robert and basically just sending him off.
And, you know, my man, speculation is that he may be coming to GH. If he comes to GH, I'll watch every day, just to watch him. And also, he's coming out with this new reality show, To Find True Love, on VH1. So when the details are finalized on that, he's going to come back on the show and talk about it. So we'll see what that's all about. You know, everybody's got to have a reality show now. It seems like, I mean, and you know what? If it works, it works. It seems that people just go find love in the strangest places, whether it be on VH1 or The Bachelorette or The Bachelor or whatever. So he's had some failed relationships, and I guess this is VH1 approached him, and, you know, he's going to take it.
Well, it would be pretty. Well, it would be pretty nice. It would be pretty nice to do something like that, and especially when, yeah, you got shows like that out there these days. People trying, you know, have celebrities trying to find love. You know, single guys, single girls, trying to find love. You know, trying to find the right mate. And you got shows out here doing all that, and they have to photograph, they have to videotape everything that happens, dates, whatever, until they find the right mate. And you see a lot more of the shows like that.
Maybe I should do that. Maybe we should start a reality show for me and find my mates. I got the kids already. I don't need any more kids. I just don't have the other half of the parenting. not in a million years would you catch me doing that, but
no.
It's funny. It's funny. But, you know, I wish him all the best of luck, and I can't wait for him to come back on and talk about it. And, you know, another big score for Star Dish, I mean, and you guys know that have been listening from the beginning, Star Dish was born not just for soap people. It was born for other forms of entertainment, whether it be musicians or mainstream actors, so to speak. And I am so happy to say that Kimberly Locke from American Idol will be on the show the 23rd.
Season 2.
It's going to be so exciting. She is terrific.
Mm-hmm.
One of the contestants from season 2. That's the year Ruben Studdard, I think, won.
Yes, he did. And really, I don't understand what the hell the point of that was, because what the hell has he done since then? You know what? And not for nothing, too. I'm a little bitter about Ruben Studdard because my son and I, he was, I think, 12 at the time or 13, we were down in Manhattan, and Ruben Studdard was performing on Good Morning America in Bryant Park. And directly across the street from Bryant Park is the Bryant Park Hotel. So we see all these people or whatever, and we're walking, and Diane Sawyer comes walking by, and, you know, we said hi to her, and she took a picture with my son. And then Ruben Studdard and Fat Joe come walking by, and, you know, my son was yelling out, "Ruben, we voted for you." And he really just acted like his blank don't stink, that he couldn't even look to turn at the teenager, young boy that was, you know, praising him because he thought he was such a good singer. I was like, whatever, didn't need to vote for you, and I guarantee you won't be nowhere. And look at what comes around goes around. His label dropped him.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate to hear something like that, you know, because, you know, it's like in the case of Ringo Starr. Remember we mentioned about Ringo Starr the other day?
Yes, we did.
Saying that he was not taking any more fan mail after the 20th, which was yesterday.
Right. Brandon, you weren't here for that conversation. Did you hear about that?
No, I don't think so. What?
Ringo Starr put out a video addressing all of his fans, telling them, "I warn you," this is his words,
I warn you.
After October 20th, he will not ever respond to any more fan mail, so please stop mailing him letters. He doesn't want fan mail anymore because he's just too damn busy to be bothered.
After 11:59 last night, that was it. If you hadn't got the letter off by 11:59 last night, chances are, forget it. You are never going to need any female from him ever again.
ridiculous, isn't it?
And who does he think made him the big star that he is?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, exactly. You know, he was just a jackass. And when Mams Taylor was on last week, and I'll have to say I was extremely impressed with him. I know, see, this is the thing with Stardish listeners, and I love them all, but unless it's a soap star, they're really not interested. And Mams Taylor, he's got a great song out with Good Charlotte, Joel Madden,
called
LA
Girl.
And it's a really cool video with Carmen Electra and Mila Kunis and a few other hotties in there, men and women. And it's a really catchy song. And I listened to it, and I listened to some of his other stuff. And he just impressed me completely. You know, he told us stories on how he made his first million and blew it all in the same day, basically. And, you know, he's made millions three times in his life, and he lost it, and he praised his daughter. And he just talked about Hollywood and all that kind of stuff. And it was just a nice, endearing interview to talk to somebody like that. And I really think that if people actually opened their minds up to a little bit of changing gears a little bit with Stardish and moved on, you know, with the other guests that we have on the show, they'd be impressed as well. You know, I was a little nervous having him on. I really didn't know how to address him, or, you know, was it going to be dead air? Did anybody call or anything like that? But he was great. He was really, really great. And we talked about it with him, being that he's from England and he is a musician. And he said the same thing. You know, he was just a real jerk, and he couldn't believe that someone so popular, you know, for so many years would even attempt to say something like that. If you don't want to answer your fan mail, then just don't answer it. What the hell do you got to go on national TV and post a video warning your fans, telling them not to email you or not to write you letters anymore? Who are you?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, so just don't answer it, jackass.
This is his countryman. This is his countryman he was talking about. Okay?
That's right.
Because he's from England, because he's from the UK. Ma'am, still,
mm-hmm.
right? He's from the UK.
Yeah.
So to hear mm-hmm. about this, to hear about Ringo Starr not answering his fan mail, that really irritated. That upset him, Amy.
He was embarrassed. He was definitely embarrassed, but it was a good interview. I mean, he spoke about a lot of different stuff. It wasn't just about music. You know, we got into a lot of stuff about he went on this 12-day retreat, silent retreat, where you were forced to face everything in your life because you couldn't speak for 12 days.
Could you imagine doing that, Brandon?
No communication whatsoever. No phones, no TV, no nothing. Could you imagine not talking for 12 days, the things that you would have to face?
I don't think so.
You know, and he did it. And he said they drop you off in the middle of the desert somewhere. You know, and I forget what the name of the thing, I think it was Joshua Tree Retreat or something. And he said it was like the most eye-opening experience for him. I said, well, I wish I could do that. He offered to be my meditation coach. I said, it's so funny because in my house, whenever I get a peaceful moment, you know, I'm sitting back and I'm just kind of chilling out and relaxing, and all of a sudden, you know, I'll be in this happy place, and all of a sudden it's like, boom, oh, Mom, this is my childhood head. Mom, Christian woman, you alone. It's like, oh, God, whatever, out of it. I can't meditate to save my life. I'd be dead. I would so be dead.
Wow.
You know, it's so funny.
I understand it. Hey, Joanne, changing gears a little bit, Joanne. I just want to pass on some belated happy anniversary to our good friend Eaton Rigo and her husband Andrew Miller, because they celebrated anniversary on September 30th.
Oh, okay. Congratulations, my buddy.
1 year anniversary. Yeah. 1 year anniversary. And guess what I also found out today? That The Imaginary Bitches is coming out on DVD.
Yes.
Complete first season coming out on DVD November 3rd.
That's right.
And you know what? Good for her. You know, I'm so happy that she is able to do that. You know, she's going to make her money, you know, one way or other. I'm glad she's back on All My Children, but I commend her and Andrew and Elizabeth and, you know, Connie and all them, you know, for making that work, 5-minute little videos, you know, into something like that.
Yeah, into it is. Now I got a whole season worth on there. Unbelievable.
Exactly.
And they're going to have all the DVDs are going to have, you know, the complete episodes, but also going to have bloopers with those episodes.
Yeah.
They're going to have bloopers and outtakes and also commentary from the stars themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And to the stars and, of course, the director, Andrew. They're going to be talking about that. And, it's going to be a lot of extras in there, too, when it comes out.
Yeah, so it's going to be good. And, you know, they were actually – I haven't watched it, sadly, in a while. But they were toying with the idea, the last I heard, of Eden's character on Imaginary Bitches actually being a lesbian, kind of like taking off on what she did on All My Children.
With Bianca, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. Like, I mean,
I don't know. That's gonna sound like a clone. It's gonna sound like a clone version of Bianca. It could be.
Some other people's. You know who's coming up on a 1-year anniversary, December 9th, is Melissa Gallo and David Fumero.
Oh, yes, right.
1-year anniversary.
Yes. They're 1-year anniversary. That's right. They're happy. They're a happy couple too, and they're working too. And I hear that. Yeah, remember we talked about David. We talked to David a little while ago. You know, Melissa was out in California, still doing some doing auditions and all that. Still doing that. Pretty much. She's pretty much still doing that. She finished her statement in All My One Night to Live. I think a couple of weeks ago, and then she's out in California. Back out in Cali again. Audition.
Yeah. You know what? We got 7 minutes left, but I want to touch real quick on All My Children again. The Beth Ellers, Ricky Paul Golden, and Chrishell Stouse triangle on All My Children. What are your thoughts on that real quick?
Okay. Randy, you want to take that first?
It seems like it's not going anywhere. I mean, I don't know. It's still the Kendall Greenlee hour, and you know anybody else who's not them isn't getting much airtime. It seems like it's meandering and not really going anywhere.
It's amazing about the way that they built this couple up, coming from Guiding Light, and it's just kind of fizzled into the background because we already know that they're going to get together. Like, there's no anticipation. We know they're getting together. We know poor Amanda is once again going to be left with a cold spot next to her bed, you know, I mean, unfortunately. And there's, like, no, I don't know. I'm not looking forward to nothing about them.
Well, they're not interesting as characters. I mean, there's nothing compelling about any of the three of them.
No,
there's nothing
I mean,
to make you want to watch tomorrow. I mean, there's just nothing there.
Right. I mean, I think they're beating the war in Iraq down to the point where it's just like, shut up already. I mean, I praise all the soldiers. I know some soldiers and, you know, I mean, but honestly, the way that they're portraying it now, it's kind of like, all right, get over yourself already. Seriously, there's really no need for all of that. All she's doing is talking about how fantastic it is to be over there, and that's it. It's like almost the same lines coming out of her mouth all the time.
Yeah,
it's getting to the point. It's getting a little boring. I'm like, please, enough already. I'm pretty sure. Okay, I understand you guys are fighting war. I understand that, but you would have to hear this day after day after day. So how I say to Google back, and I always say it's a freaking war zone over there. Okay, who wants to go back there? You know,
right. And it, you know, and another thing on All My Children, now that I'm thinking about it, that they dropped the ball on. Don't you remember we had that conversation about little Kathy and how
Seemed
that she was being a little evil? What happened to all that? That just stopped.
Yeah, that stopped when that tornado hit. That's when it stopped.
Well, it stopped even before that. I mean, what else happened after Crystal fell off the ladder?
Nothing.
Pretty much nothing.
Right. So they started something and just kind of like let it drop again.
Yeah, it was the right, and then it, when it does drop their story in the favor of the Kendall Greenlee, Andy, Ryan, Aiden, whatever you call it, Schultz.
Right.
Whatever, Ryan, whatever, Schultz. You know, and then
right.
You just everybody else, you just put those people, all those people front and center, and the rest of them just go to the back, including that storyline with Kathy, go to the back, whatever, blah, blah, blah. That this ain't working for us. We're just going to push it in the back.
Although I do think that with Kendall languishing into a coma for the next few months, the show's going to get a major kind of rejiggering of their balance. I at least I hope so. Because Kendall takes up so much airtime these days that it's hard for any of these other stories to get traction. So with her in a coma for the next few months, I think you're going to see a major rebirth there. At least I hope so.
Right. Well, she's going off to get married down now.
Yeah, she's getting married next week. Yeah, she's getting married, and she's going to take some time off, going down to Florida for a few weeks. Of course, she's going to be down there for Super Sub weekend, of course. And after that, I don't know what she's going to be doing. She's going to be doing pre-tape scenes before she leaves. She comes back to New York, pre-taping her scenes, do stuff, and then just pretty much hang out and be Richie's wife, you know?
You know? Yeah, and I'm hoping that this storyline gets interesting, you know, the fact that Bianca is carrying Zach's baby and Kendall knows nothing about it. And that'll be the first thing she finds out about when she comes up out of that coma. And Rebecca Buttig is out. She didn't re-sign her contract. She's done. It's pilot season. She's going back to California. So
probably one up in a new series next year. Probably one up in a new
crime. You know what? I love Rebecca Buttig. I really do. But you know what? To bring her back and throw Sabine out the way that they did just for a year, I think
Ron,
was nonsense.
Ron.
Left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. And,
yeah.
And plus, the story wasn't there. The chemistry wasn't there with Aiden. The story with Ryan went nowhere. It was
wasn't
just,
nowhere.
It was bad execution all around.
Mm-hmm. And now she's gone anyway. So it's like, what the hell?
Well, now they're going to turn their attention now with Kendall and Greenlee both basically out the way. It's now going to be Reese and Bianca basically and Zach basically up in front now.
Well, I'm excited about the Tamara Bruin and Eden Regal pairing. So I'm hoping that's going to bring some excitement.
I hope so too. We all hope so.
As long as they do something with it.
Right.
Right.
Not make it, not fuck it, and if they bust this up, we got big problems. And then there's real problems. Then you got big problems.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to see Tamara Bruin come in there. From what I understand, her character is all nice, but I would like to see her come in and do a little scrapping with Erica, you know?
Ooh, that'll be fun. That'll be fun.
Yeah. All right, well, guys, we got 1 minute left on Stardish Radio. We're going to pick this conversation up tomorrow at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And don't forget about Kimberly Locke on the 23rd at 10 o'clock. So I'm hoping to have you all back here tomorrow night for some unfinished soap chat, and we'll talk some more about this storyline as well as what else is going on in our three maybe favorite, maybe not so favorite
soaps.
Fake places. So, so definitely come on back tomorrow night for our soap chat. It'll be really fun.
We will have more people on. We'll have more people on the board tomorrow night, so please call in.
Oh, absolutely. All right, guys, I'll talk to you tomorrow. We're going to exit out with some Eden since we're on the subject. Good night and talk to you tomorrow.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys.
Hey, I'm Eden Regal on Stardish. Thank you so much for listening.